going to tell you about our work on space reconstruction of the morphology and kinematics of axisymmetric radio sources. And you may already, you will still remember me. I'm from Department of Astrophysics, Vietnam National Satellite Center. Okay. So, from the title, you should not expect much, because we don't mean to give the recipe for the reconstruction in 3D. But we just try to address the mathematical issues related to the reconstruction in space, also called the projection of circumstellar envelopes of axial stars. And we restrict our work to evolved stars, and we also find striking similarities between evolved stars and protostars. And we work mainly in the millimeter and submillimeter range, typically CO molecular lines. So the problem in the reconstruction of in the 3D of these objects is that we have too many unknowns compared to the input data. So we have the input data, we have sky coordinates, Y and Z, and we have the Doppler velocity along the life site, and we have the flux density. So this is the data group. And we have to calculate in space the three space coordinates, the density, the temperature, and the three components of the velocity. So we have 8 instead of 4. So that's the big problem. So what we use is two orthogonal coordinates. And you see that the y pointing x, y, z, and psi, eta, and zeta. Y pointing east, and z pointing north, and x is pointing is along life side, positive away from the observer. And psi, eta, zeta is the result of the first rotation of a position angle from about x axis, and the second rotation angle theta from y pi, the transform of y in the first rotation. Okay, so we also use the polar coordinate defined as for the pixel in the plane of the sky, r and phi, defined as this relations. Okay, so the transformations between the two coordinates is shown in this relations. And we also define the distance to the star center as this. So, as you know, for most of their life, AGB stars have a small mass loss rate of about 10 to the minus 7 solar masses per year. The shape of the gas volume is not much affected. But the bipolar outflow is seen only in the wind velocity. So the kinematics is more important in the case of HB stars. So we factorize the velocity components into the three components: a radial component along the star axis. The radial component Vrat. And the axial component is along the star axis, and the rotation component perpendicular to the star axis. So we have the problem of too many unknowns, so we have to, based on the other hypothesis, we use a rotational invariance about the star axis. And from this hypothesis, the velocity are the functions of r and the star latitude only, and they are independent of the star longitude. And from this, we can calculate the Doppler velocity as a function of these velocity components. So next, we introduce the so-called effective emissivity rho, defined as this relation. Okay, and so the integral of the effective emissivity is equal to the integral of the density flux in pixel y and z. So you see that rho is the function of gas density, the abundance of emitting gas, the population of emitting quantum state, and the probability of emission and absorption of the detected radiation. So by introducing rho, we replace d and t by rho. So we save another degree of freedom in addition to the rotational invariance. And note that t and d can be evaluated separately if we know we have data on two or more molecular lines. So to identify the problems in spatial reconstruction, we do simulations. And our simulations are made for the centrally symmetric star. It means rho is invariant under this transformation. And the velocity is changed at that side when we change, we do this transformation. And with the hypothesis of rotational symmetry about the stasis, and we assume there is no axial wind. There are only radial expansion and rotation in the simulation. And we take the effective emissivity proportional to the r to the minus 2. And we consider two cases where we have the radial velocity dominated in the equator and disappear in the pole. And the rotational velocity is dominated at the equator region and disappear at the pole. And another simpler case, which is case B, where we have the rotational velocity only in the region of the equator with the star latitude less than 45 degrees and the expansion velocity in the pole region with the star latitude greater than 45 degrees. So this is an example of the PV diagram. It is a little bit different. Look at the space coordinate is in phi, which was defined before, and this is the normal double velocity. So you see, for the pure expansion case, we see that the velocity at any given phi will have two sides, positive and negative, okay. And for the pure rotation rotational case, we see that velocity has only one size, okay. And using the coordinates in phi, we see that with the central symmetry changing phi into phi plus pi leaves the effective emissivity invariant and the velocity change the size. So we have the same emissivity here, and but the size of the velocity change. So this is very very convenient when we don't know in advance the direction in the sky of the star. So if we use this, we just have the translation of the PV diagram in phi. So for the simpler case where we have no mixing between rotation and expansion, so you see that this is the PV diagram for the expansion and this is the PV diagram for the rotation. For the mixed case, we see that the PV diagram of this is just the simple position of the two PV diagrams, because when we probe, when X probes the equator region or the polar region, we see different velocity fields. So the mixing between rotation and expansion is complicated. And I show you here a case where, from simulation, where the two velocity field mixed. And this is the true star axis, and this is the apparent data axis. When we have the mixture between the two velocity fields, we don't see well the star axis. So we need a more refined method to find the position of the inclination of the position the star axis. I mean, we cannot simply use the map to find the star axis. So we construct a chi-square expressing to try to evaluate the position angle. The chi-square is defined like this for the two component. For example, for the expansion component, it's you see that the flux density is symmetric over the y axis. So if and for the rotation case, you see that it's the flux density is symmetric over the z axis. So we hope that this chi-square will be minimized when we scan and reach the position angle of the star axis. But this is not enough, because as being shown in this case, where we have the star axis is 45 degrees, the inclination angle is 45 degrees, and the velocity is mixed between the two components. The Q here is the amount of mixture between the two components. And you see that, for example, in the case of Q equal to 20 degrees, the offset can be up to 5 degrees. So that's for the position angle, and for the inclination angle. We hope that the partial derivative of the integral density can tell us about the inclination angle, and this is I shown you the partial derivative of the integrated flux, okay, and in principle we can calculate the inclination angle of the star by this formula. However, it requires knowledge about the effective emissivity. That's we don't know. Okay, so to understand better this, we model the effective emissivity as this function, and lambda rho is the elongation of the emissivity along the star axis, and from that we can see the partial derivative of the integrated flux can be described by the product of two parameters, the elongation of the emissivity and the inclination angle. So in this case we cannot tell the difference between inclination angle and the elongation of the emissivity. So this is another difficulty in reconstructing in space of these stars. So we also try to construct some simple quantities to tell the difference between rotation and expansion, and this is one of the examples. So I don't think I can have time to go through all this. But this is based on some simple arithmetics. And we have, for example, the pure rotation, we have the sum of the flux for the positive Doppler velocity and for the negative Doppler velocities, and making constructing this quantity, we can tell. For example, for the pure rotation case, we have the A as a function of phi equal to 1 for pure rotation case, and for pure expansion case, it's always smaller than unity. So this quantity can be used to tell that when we look at the data of some particular case of the star, we can try to look at the distribution of this parameter as a function of phi, and then we can tell that for that star, the relation between expansion and rotation in that star. And okay, this is also another argument that we think that the polar coordinate in the PV diagram in phi and vx is better than to use traditional PV diagrams in many cases. Okay, but I will not go into detail on that. So now I go to some actual case. So this is the ISCNC on HB star observed in CO120 from plateau debris observations. And you see that the sky map of this star is, we don't see very well the elongation about the star axis. We don't see it's like spherical shape. And if you look at the R dependence of the product R times the integrated flux as average over the sector of phi sector, and we see that this quantity decreases as a power law function. So from the relation. Relation between the dependence on the distance to the star axis and the distance from the pixel to the star center, we can see that we can tell that the R dependence of this quantity is minus 1.63. So we have some idea about the density distribution of this star. And was, if we look at the phi dependence of R over phi, so we see in quantitatively that this is rather spherical. So we see that the mean is only 1.3% of the mean value. And when we look at the mean V, the sky map of the mean V distribution, we see clearly the north-south asymmetry, and this is we see that this is the evidence for the bipolar outflow. And the same, we look at the R dependence of mean V as a function of phi and R, and we have the evidence for the velocity gradient. Okay, and here we can have some idea about the position angle of the star. And using the chi-square constructed before, we can calculate the position angle of this star. Okay, and look at the PV diagrams in these coordinates. We can see that the expansion is dominated over rotation in this case, because we see that the velocity is half both plus and minus size in this case, and this is some rotation maybe. And we have tried with many, not many, several cases, and it always bring good things to us. For example, in the case of a post-HB star, the red rectangle observed in the two lines by Alma, and from the first look at the data, and then we model the velocity field in the two polar region and the equatorial region, and then we can reconstruct in space the effective emissivity. This is the map shown in z-axis and the star longitude. And I show here a case for a protostar where we can construct very simple quantity, and already we can see the main properties of this star. This is the sky map and the mean velocity, and then we construct the density which is a measure of the rotation velocity in the asymmetric case, and we can see the effective emissivity contributed to the rotation part, and from the total flux minus of the rotational part, we can see the emissivity contributed to the falling part, and from that we can model the star. Okay. So just do I have 30 minutes? 30 minutes. Okay. So I leave the conclusion so we can read it.
Thank you. Thanks. We have time for one question. Thank you. And may the next speaker come up and give you. No, oh, it's a fun. Any questions? Yeah.
So you've shown how it's the uncertainty on the axis position. Did you try to play the same game with the center of the star, the assumed center of the star? Could it be that the data is misleading you as to where the center is?
Usually we use continuum to for the center of the star.
May go up. Thank you. Okay, thank you. I'm going to move swiftly on. Next, we have.